if a heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everybody. Patrick Conley with you again for another episode of the Rediscover Hour. It's good to be with you. And I get to say it one more time, so I'm going to say it one more time. It's still Advent. It's still Advent. We've got 2 days, or I guess we start tomorrow evening at sundown in our Christmas celebration. So it's a pleasure. It's been a pleasure, hasn't it? 4 full weeks of Advent. And, I was thinking about Advent specifically. We turn our thoughts and minds to the Christmas story at this time. And specifically a verse from Luke came to mind, Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them in the inn. And that's really what we've been focusing on. Last week we had a show on the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. And if you missed that, by the way, you can always go back and listen to previous episodes of the Rediscover Hour. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, and you can search on there for the Rediscover Hour, and we've got all kinds of links to past shows there. But it was a great show about the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. But just that there was no place for the baby Jesus in the inn. He laid in a manger, in a food trough for cattle, for oxen, for sheep. And that's where his first, outside of course, our Blessed Mother's womb, that's the first place he's laid. And then that got me thinking about Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus says to the scribe, who says, I will follow you wherever you go. This is Jesus' response. He says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Yeah, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then I thought about the end of Jesus' life as well. And when he was crucified, when he was taken down from the cross, and then his final place where he was laid was a tomb, of course. A tomb that no one had been laid in before. It was a new tomb, we're told. Interesting how he goes from the womb of our Blessed Mother on one end to, of course, being resurrected and ascended into heaven on the other. But here in his earthly time here, he was also laid in a manger, and truly he came to be the bread of life, so he was food for us, the food of life for us that we receive each and every week, maybe more often in the Holy Eucharist. But then he was also laid in the tomb. He experienced that death for our sins, for our sake. Jesus himself knew what it was like not to have a place to lay his head. And that's what we're going to continue talking about this week on the Rediscover. And I'm very excited to be focusing in on specifically, of course, there's many, many ministries around the Twin Cities area here locally that talk about homelessness, that seek to address homelessness through various means and various efforts. But to fight to end homelessness here in the Twin Cities, in this area, and in so doing to serve the homeless Lord, really, in the least of his brethren, is one taken very seriously by St. Stephen's Human Services in Minneapolis. St. Stephen's envisions a community, and this is right from their website, envisions a community in which housing instability is rare, brief, and non-recurring. Rare, brief, and non-recurring, ending homelessness as we know it. So those are features that we often don't see, I think, in homeless communities these days, that it's the instability of being without a house is rare or brief or non-recurring. Rather, it is more common. It's for a lengthy period of time, and it happens again and again and again. And so I'm very excited as today we're privileged to have with us here in studio a couple of guests who will help us to get to know the work of St. Stephen's. A little bit later on, we're going to be speaking with Gail Dorfman, the Executive Director of St. Stephen's Human Services. And then first, though, we're going to speak with a young man named Peter Thompson. And Peter has an incredible story to share about his encounter, specifically with St. Stephen's, with homelessness in the Twin Cities, and something he did to help those who, like our Lord, have nowhere to lay their heads. So that's what's in store for us. But as we get started, let's pause and, as always, commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So from two pilgrims, one who is set to give birth in the journey to Bethlehem, to today, to pilgrims who walk the earth now. Of course, we're all on our own specific pilgrimage, but I'm thinking specifically of those who are running out of resources and find themselves on the streets. I think this is a great time of year to focus on particularly these needs. So as we look forward to the show that's to come, say a prayer and stick with us. We'll be back shortly to talk about St. Stephen's. Rediscover.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
I am the person who at one time suffered from clinical depression and anxiety and whose life has been transformed with the help of Relevant Radio. I am much stronger in my faith than ever before. I now go to Eucharistic adoration in our church weekly. I sing in our church choir. I attend various prayer groups. Relevant Radio's message of life and hope were there for me.
I love to listen to Morning Air on my drive in the morning. And I usually don't get to listen again until the drive home with Drew. And his topics always keep me in the car. All the programs, they're wonderful. They're all inspirational.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123. Or donate online at relevantradio.com.
You said I am here till the end. With you both night and day.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. And you know, I was hasty. I was reminded that some of you may be actually listening to this and it's rebroadcast on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day itself. I was hasty in leading off the show with it being Advent, but it's not Advent for those of you who are listening at that time. So Merry Christmas to you, but not to those of you who are listening live here on Friday morning. So we turn our attention now to, as I said, a young man who has encountered St. Stephen's and their work through actually, well, I'm going to let him tell you about that. So Peter Thompson is his name. And Peter, welcome to the show. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Peter, how old of a man are you?
I'm 18 years old.
18. Very good. So want to get into specifically how you got involved with St. Stephen's and the project that you did in pursuit of your Eagle Scout, as I understand. But I understand that you first encountered St. Stephen's through their Day in the Life program. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about what did you do on this Day in the Life program? What is that about?
Well, through my parish, Our Lady of Grace in Edina, we have a youth group called Mission Home where we focus on serving people or basically going on mission trips locally to serve local organizations. And the first one of each summer is always a day in the life with St. Stephen's. And basically you meet up with, or so you meet at the shelter, you kind of meet some of the staff, and then you end up getting paired with one of several of the past residents of St. Stephen's who have gotten themselves out of homelessness through hard work and through the work of St. Stephen's, and you basically experience most of a day with the homeless person or the previously homeless person, and kind of just you get to experience what it's like to be living in poverty without a home. I'm aware that you actually, that we didn't do this, but one of the things that they used to, I'm not sure if it was a thing that got canceled, but or if it's not something that happens anymore, but I think they actually made you take off your clothing and wear somebody else's clothes.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, just to show you, like, what it feels like to live in shoes that don't fit or clothing that just isn't like your size or isn't clean, and it's really just humbling, and it makes you realize how privileged and how lucky you are to have a home. And like you said earlier, a lot of things that we take for granted, like shelter right. and a roof over our heads and a warm bed. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and another thing we did was we got to, so most of these people are on food stamps or minimum wage, anything like that. So we basically got to buy and eat lunch at a number of places with that amount of money if you portion it out.
Wow.
And it was really humbling to see like how much food that really buys and how difficult it is to live on minimum wage or food stamps.
Right. Yeah, as an 18-year-old, I imagine you have a pretty ravenous appetite. Am I right?
Yeah, you're definitely not wrong there.
Yeah, excellent. So a previously homeless person was your guide through this day in the life of understanding what it means to live without the means to support oneself, to wondering where the next meal is going to come from, where to be a homeless person. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow. Okay, so what kind of an effect did this have on you? How did you feel? Tell us about how you felt as you went through this day.
Well, there were a lot of emotions that went through my head. I felt really sorry definitely very sad and like very humbled based on seeing like what the differences are between my everyday life and the lives of these people who like they're very present in our society. Maybe not like my home in Edina, but in Minneapolis, which is just a drive away or anywhere mm-hmm. like you walk down the street, you see people holding signs, panhandling, or sitting on the corners, especially in, I mean, it's obviously the day in the life is over the summer, but a lot of people don't realize that, like, I mean, in Minnesota winters, obviously, it's pretty cold, and, yeah. like,
right.
it's a lot of people I know complain about just, like, being outside for a couple minutes or standing in the cold. Imagine, like, sleeping outside without a bed or just trying to survive without a home out here, just being out here 24 hours of a day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just really humbling and you feel really privileged. And by the end of the day, you're extremely tired and you just kind of, you want it to be over with. But for a lot of homeless people, that's not the case. This, like, it's, there isn't an end for most people. Like, you don't get to wake up and go home. It's your life. And that's really just a lot to take in.
Right, right. So was it from the experience that you had that day that that at least planted the seed for this idea for something to do your Eagle Scout service project about?
Yeah, absolutely. St. Stephen's, definitely. I saw the work that they were doing, and I really like how they not only like address homelessness and give people a home, but they try to, one thing that I really like is they try to move people up into affordable housing and like open up that bed for somebody who might be new to homelessness or like somebody who they don't focus on just giving the people a bed. They focus on getting them out of the shelter.
Right.
And like getting them back into the workforce and back contributing to society more and just really like helping the people, not just like giving them basic necessities. They really care for the people and try to help them improve their lives in more ways than one.
Right. Once again, from the St. Stephen's own vision, they envision a community in which housing instability is rare, brief, and non-recurring. So there's many efforts there, as you were saying, Peter, just that don't necessarily just give a person a bed for a night, but helps them such that the homelessness plague doesn't settle in. So it's not a permanent state of life for them. All right. Well, tell us about what you did then for this project. How you decided, or how you came about this idea of what did you do, and where did the idea come from?
Well, I contacted the shelter, and I ended up getting into contact with a very nice woman named Tess Gehring. I'm not actually. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, the last name well, but she's just an amazing woman, very nice, very kind, very passionate about what she does. And she said that one of the main things that they needed at the shelter at the time were toiletries and, like, toothbrushes. I actually have a list of what I collected here.
Yeah.
Shampoo, toothbrushes, toothpaste, combs, hand lotion, razors, deodorant, lip balm, and wet wipes.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, just basic toiletries for the men staying there. And so I decided to assemble, like, these kits. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of prepackaged ones that were super awesome that were donated. And so basically I went to my parish in OLG and I talked to Father Kevin Finnegan, mm-hmm. who is a very nice man, very nice priest, and he agreed to let me talk at the masses after, just making a quick announcement after each mass for a weekend. And
wow,
just,
so you spoke at each one of the masses?
Yeah,
at
that was
Grace.
That.
Wow, what was that like? Was that a little nerve-wracking?
The first couple were definitely, I definitely was very nervous, but after a while I kind of just calmed down, just
sure.
like once I learned what I was going to say more and got more comfortable with talking in front of such a big crowd, it definitely got easier.
Okay. And what kind of a response did you start to see? I mean, were people open to this?
It was an incredible response by the people. Everybody, like the members of the parish, were extremely generous. Me and my father and I were handing out checkout bags donated by Jerry's across the street that had the list with the items that I read off a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
And they were just, like, people were taking 3-4 bags. Everybody was, like, there was a giant crowd of people just kind of funneling towards me and my dad. And it was very humbling to see how many people were willing to donate. And we were actually asking for cash donations too, to balance out the numbers of the items. If I got like 1,000 toothbrushes and 100 bars of soap, I could, like, you know, even everything out and make,
right.
end up making a good amount of packs.
Right.
And the amount of cash donations that we got was absolutely incredible. Like, people were donating 20s, 50s. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, everybody was very generous. I'm very proud of my parish.
And wow. So now, I read here that your initial goal was to put together just 100. Is that right? 100 of these hygiene kits?
Yeah, I believe that was my initial goal. I didn't really know what I was getting into originally.
But speaking at all the weekend masses that's got to be really, really fruitful for the thing that you were trying to do here. So I'm assuming then you surpassed this 100 kit goal. Is that correct?
Yeah, I probably could have made 100 kits just from two masses. Or
wow.
It was the amount of donations and the amount of packs I was able to assemble was very much higher than 100 and what I'd originally thought.
Right. So when you spoke, just to go back there, so as you spoke to your parish there on each of the weekend masses about the project you were doing here, what did you tell them? What did you say?
Well, I started by introducing myself, just saying, hey, I'm Peter Thompson. I go to Holy Angels in Richfield. I'm working on my Eagle Scout project. And I kind of, excuse me, my throat's pretty scratchy. I introduced myself, told them about my project, and just asked them for help. Just said, I mean, if you, sorry about that. Just basically said, yeah, I mean, I'm giving you an opportunity to help. You're not, obviously, nothing is required. It's completely up to you if you want to help or not. And people were just, like, incredibly generous. People, like, I'd say about 95% of the parish donated, which was
wow,
just very, very extremely generous. It was very successful, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's a great show of exactly what our Lord, I think, has called us to, which is to be mindful of those who have less. You know, those who have two tunics should share one with the one who does not have any, or those who, I mean, you can apply that across the board. And I think it was even St. Thomas Aquinas, if memory is serving me correctly, who said, if you own two shirts, then the second one that you own belongs to the poor. And that's pretty amazing. And I'm even tying in what's running through my head now is even the widow's mite, you know, that oftentimes we can give from our abundance, but we're even called to give from our own poverty or from our own lack of abundance as well to help those who are in more of a need. Okay, so what was the response of St. Stephen's when you showed up with this, however many hundred of these hygiene kits, plus I think you had some cash donations as well to give, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I showed up with several laundry baskets, cardboard boxes, and just anything we could use to kind of store them. Gosh.
And what did they say? Did they?
They were basically speechless. Showed me the small closet that they had for storing toiletries, and that actually wasn't enough to store everything
wow.
that came in for my project, and it was incredible to see those, like, they showed me the toiletries that they had initially were actually the same quality that would be given to prisoners, which I thought was definitely not, I mean, these people definitely deserved better than that. And I mean, I'm not saying, like, obviously money's tough with St. Stephen's trying to run a nonprofit shelter.
Sure.
And I was just really happy that I could kind of help them out and give these, they're the men staying at St. Stephen's, like, the, at least we can share in, like, the same quality of toiletries, because, right. I mean, at least.
Right,
like,
right.
And
it's things that, it's things that we, again, we have a tendency to take for granted, and yet others are without. And until you don't have it, you don't recognize how much you miss it. So, Peter, a final question for you. So was it effective in terms of your Eagle Scout pursuit?
Absolutely, it was. A few months ago, I earned my Eagle Scout
You did?
Award, and yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's right. One more question. What's next on the docket for you in terms of school or life, or do you know?
Well, I'm in the college application process currently. I've got my applications in, and I'm just waiting to hear back for more.
Nice. Well, this goes with the promise of our prayers as you continue on, and may you, the spirit where you really encountered homelessness there through St. Stephen's and a day in the life, and what, how that, the compassion that compelled you to respond, may that go with you throughout your life. Peter Thompson is going to stay with us as we now turn to Gail Dorfman, who's the executive director of St. Stephen's Human Services. And Gail, good morning. Good to have you on the air.
Thank you for having me here today, Patrick.
Yeah.
Although I'm not sure I want to have to follow Peter.
Right.
What a wonderful young man. And we are so thankful at St. Stephen's for our volunteers like Peter, who really make it easier for us to meet the needs of the people that we're trying to serve.
Yes, yes. Well, obviously, it's more than just a handful. I'm sure that you rely on many, many volunteers. But we'll get into that. Let me start by asking you, tell us some about the history of St. Stephen's. How did St. Stephen's get started?
Well, the Church of St. Stephen's, the clergy and the parish, started to see the neighborhood, the Whittier neighborhood in Minneapolis, where they're located, back in the 1970s, they started to see the neighborhood change.
Okay.
And some of the big corporate families, the Pillsbury's and the Donaldsons, were leaving their homes, moving elsewhere in the city or out to the suburb, and being replaced by people who didn't have as much. Some were homeless, new immigrants to the community, people who were living in poverty. And the parish reached out and said, we want to help our new neighbors. And they started looking at how could they meet the needs of people in the community. And they first opened and bought an old Victorian that we still have today called Kateri Residence for Native American women and their children.
Nice.
And there are women living there today, mm-hmm. getting the help they need. And then they opened the shelter in the basement of the rectory in 1981. It is still there today.
Wow.
They started the first loaves and fishes program in 1983 over at the church. That, too, is still there today. So they were a congregation that became part of the community. And I love, there's a little book about the history of the church, and I loved reading it. And when they celebrated the 100th anniversary of the church, one of the parishioners spoke, and he said about the history, there were grand clothes and carriages in the good old days, but they were not as close to reality as we are today, not as close to the real stuff of life, not as close to hunger and homelessness, loss and loneliness, and not as close to love. Then it was a big, prosperous church. Now we are a big-hearted and poor church. St. Stephen's is a community, not just a church. We are people united by our community. Mm-hmm. And it's those values of the Catholic social teachings mm-hmm. that started us, and they're the values that we who work every day at St. Stephen's Human Services, they're the values that drive us today, every mm-hmm. day.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Now, and you serve as the executive director. How long have you been in that position?
I have been in this position for 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Yeah. So, and I did a little bit of research beforehand, and I noticed that you've had lots of governmental positions, and you've been all over the place and that sort of thing. And I believe you still serve on the Metropolitan Council.
I do.
Okay. So how did you decide, or why did you decide to take this position as executive director of St. Stephen's?
Well, I had served in local office in St. Louis Park and then as a Hennepin County commissioner, and I had worked on issues at a policy level around homelessness and the need for affordable housing. And at some point, while that was very gratifying and I loved being in Hennepin County, and we started a number of initiatives and developed a 10-year plan, Heading Home Hennepin, to end homelessness in our community, I really wanted an opportunity to move to an agency that I knew that I had already worked with, and move to an agency that was doing work in the community, doing direct service. And so in many ways, when I shifted to St. Stephen's, I felt like I was coming home. And it's a wonderful organization with amazing staff like Tess, who Peter referred to, who come in every day and are doing really, really hard work with the wonderful people who enter our doors every day looking for assistance of some kind.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more about that, too. Let's talk about specifically what kind of things that St. Stephen's offers. So you do, I see that you have three major categories: outreach and shelter, housing, and community engagement. Tell us a little bit about some of the things you do with outreach and shelter.
Well, we really believe that we needed emergency services in the community. And so, as said, we started a shelter back in 1981 for single men who had nowhere to go. And there, it's open every day, every night of the year, and there are 45 to 50 men there every single night of the year.
Wow.
And we continue to provide that service, which is sorely needed in the community. We don't have enough shelter beds for single adults and others in the community. And so we, that's part of our emergency services. We also, in a few years ago, recognized that there were people who were unsheltered. And we actually do a quarterly count to determine approximately how many people are living in Hennepin County that are unsheltered. And so we wanted to reach out to that group, too, and try to get them off the streets and into shelter and out of shelter into housing. And so we developed a street outreach team who go out and meet people where they are in the community, whether they're living under bridges or creating small encampments or certainly living in places really not fit for human habitation, to really reach out and engage them. Many struggle with mental health issues, some with chemical dependency, some with both, or their lives have just taken a bad route. All of the clients that we work with, whether they're single adults or families, they all have their own individual story, and they'll tell you in some cases about why they become homeless. And sometimes it doesn't take very much. Sometimes it's a job loss, or it's health issues, or a combination of things. Criminal record. Many of the single adults who stay at our shelter have criminal records for crimes they committed many years ago, sometimes decades ago, and they did their time, but it is hard to get landlords to rent to them, and it's hard to get employers to hire them as well. And so our job is to provide emergency services, and ultimately it's about housing, because you can't address the issues in your life without stable, safe housing. And so that's a big focus, to get people, both families and single adults, out of shelter and into housing. And for people who are at risk of losing their homelessness, we also work very hard to prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place. And then we felt, too, that it's not enough just to provide these services, but we really have an obligation to educate the community about homelessness. There's so many misperceptions about what it looks like and who's homeless and, you know, what causes homelessness. If you said to most people in the community, do you know that almost half the people who are homeless are under the age of 21? They'd be surprised, because many people will look at people who are panhandling by the highways, and that's their image of what homelessness looks like. But it looks very different across the community, and lots of people are homeless, from little children to teenagers to single adults.
Right. Let me just ask, too, about specifically how do you do that sort of education? Obviously, you come on the radio, but, I mean, do you hold classes? Do you give talks? How do you educate the general public about the face of homelessness?
Well, we do those things that you mentioned, too. But as Peter mentioned, we wanted to look at unique ways of educating people. And so we started the A Day in the Life program,
right,
led by our community educators. We call it experiential learning. You really do get to walk in the shoes. We don't make people change clothes, but you get to walk in the shoes and hear the stories from people who are homeless and start to understand. And you can do a half day or a full day, A Day in the Life program. Many church groups and school groups and others in the community take advantage of that. And we also created a theater company. We're pretty unique in being a direct service agency with our own theater troupe.
Really?
And it's called Zamya, and is comprised of people who are, in some cases, are still homeless, but many were formerly homeless. They write their own plays and perform. It's a touring company. In September, they did a series at the Guthrie, which was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And through their plays, they tell the story and their own personal stories of being homeless and what they experienced in the community. And they're wonderful productions. They're very talented, and you laugh and you cry and you learn a lot. And we feel at St. Stephen's that just like volunteering is service, that learning is service too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Gail Dorfman is our guest here on the Rediscover Hour, and she is speaking to us. She's the executive director of St. Stephen's Human Services in Minneapolis, fighting to end homelessness in the Twin Cities area. Gail, let me ask you this. So, how about your own experience with homelessness? How has your involvement, now you said you've worked actually around these issues for a number of years in governmental positions. How, if at all, how has your time in St. Stephen's, how has that maybe added to your perception, your understanding of homelessness and the issues involved?
So that question brings me back to my first year, my first week actually,
okay,
as a Hennepin County Commissioner, and it was before there was any sign of people panhandling at the highways. So homelessness was virtually an invisible issue in our community.
Okay.
And I started the county, and I got a call from a couple of women who worked at St. Stephen's, and they said, the county's about to close the overflow shelter, which I didn't even know what that was, and because it was seasonal at that time, and it was April when I started, and so they said, we're having a rally, and you should come down to where this emergency winter shelter was and see. And so I didn't really know how to do my job then, so I showed up,
okay,
and there were TV cameras, and St. Stephen's staff and other homeless agency staff started to educate me. And that night, I watched 110 men go into what was then the county's hyperbaric chamber and sleep on little mats that were about an inch thick with just a sheet over them on these quarry tile floors with just a couple porta potties and a couple sinks, and realized that every night in our community there were 110 men at this particular shelter. And then I started to see the homeless community broader and to see what services were there. And so that became an issue as a county commissioner that I wanted to address. And I wanted to raise the veil on the invisibility of this population. You know, when we do our quarterly unsheltered counts and we ask the guys out on the street what bothers them the most, they'll say they feel invisible, that people walk by and don't even acknowledge them and look away.
Right.
And they want to be recognized for their humanity, just like the rest of us do.
Yeah, exactly. Every human being made in the image and likeness of God. And I'll be the first to confess that, it's difficult when confronted with it face to face. It's I do have the innate instinct to turn away, and yet That's one of the things that impresses me so much, that you have an actual outreach program where you go out to those people to see, ensure that they have a safe, warm place to sleep, but also to help get them back on the road to housing. So just a question too. I'm sure there's a lot of people who've heard about the Day in the Life now and are interested in that. I'm sure there's a ton of people too who are listening who want to get involved, who want to support this great ministry, this great mission of St. Stephen's Human Services. So where can they go? What can they do to find out more?
So people can go to our St. Stephen's website,
okay,
or they can call the main number at St. Stephen's and just say they're interested in learning more about our community engagement, education, and advocacy programs, and they can find out more about how to volunteer in ways, in addition to what Peter did, doing a donation drive, which is really important to us, particularly things like Peter did with hygiene kits, mm-hmm, putting those together, or winter emergency kind of kits with winter gear. Also, welcome baskets. So for many of the people, families, for example, that we're helping move from the largest family shelter, People Serving People, into housing, those sorts of donations around basic housing supplies, a welcome basket, if you will, mm-hmm, of towels and, you know, blankets and things is more than welcome. We also serve a meal every dinner, okay, at the shelter, and meal groups bring in hot meals every night and break bread with our shelter guests and serve the meals. And we're always looking for volunteers to do meal group. It's actually great fun too. And then you get to, you know, talk with our shelter guests and learn something more from them, yeah, as well. So there are a number of ways to help us at St. Stephen's with the people we serve.
Right. And I have your website here as ststephens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. So that's with a P-H. ststephens, M-M-P-L-S for Minneapolis.org. So once again, ststephensminneapolis.org. Well, Gail Dorfman, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Also, Peter, thank you for joining us. And it's great to have you both on the show talking about St. Stephen's Human Services. When we come back, we're going to take a look at that first Christmas narrative and what actually it means to be home, home with the Lord. So stick with us.
Rediscover. Listen closely. You don't have to live with knee pain. You heard right. If you're 65 or older and suffering from knee pain, you may qualify for an advanced pain-relieving brace at little to no cost to you. Doctor Approved Medical, America's trusted resource for knee braces, will work with Medicare or insurance benefits to see if you qualify for these knee braces. Many people are now using our knee brace as an alternative to surgery or harmful medications and experience pain relief they haven't felt in years. The only way to see if you qualify is to call us. 800-759-2118. One of our friendly experts will handle all paperwork and have it delivered for free. Don't let your knee pain turn into something worse. Find out now about these advanced knee braces now covered by Medicare or insurance benefits. Call now and get free shipping plus a complimentary easy-to-use pedometer. 800-759-2118. 800-759-2118. 800-759-2118. Little to no cost with full insurance payment, copay, and deductible supply promo subject to qualification while supplies last.
Everything I am is for your glory. Everything I am for you alone. Everything I am is for your glory. Everything I am for you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. We've been talking about St. Stephen Human Services and the issue of homelessness here in the Twin Cities area, and I hope that that helps us appreciate, especially as we go into this Christmas holiday season, that home is actually such a gift to us. I know many times when I'm coming home from work, you know, I can head towards the door, and even though I'm usually greeted by some enthusiastic puppies and a kiss from my wife, it can still feel like, well, it's the end of the day, so now I'm just in disengage mode. And that's not a good way to be, because home is a gift. And so we need to receive that gift of home. And I thought we'd just, to close out the show today, take a look at that first Christmas narrative. Because we have this image of a pregnant woman, of St. Joseph, the surrogate father, leading her to Bethlehem. We have them traveling together to go to be enrolled, as the scriptures tell us. And even as the birth of Jesus comes about, well, we all know, we're familiar with the story, that it comes about in very humble circumstances. So what does home actually mean in this Christmas narrative that's given to us? So this is from Luke chapter 2, specifically regarding the birth of Jesus. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. So taxes were a certainty then as they are now. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So Luke is doing a good job of setting that right in the midst of history here. That's what St. Luke is doing. He's saying, yep, this happens in the midst of human history. This isn't something that was just dreamt up. So all went down to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now, just these couple of verses here are so packed with meaning about and all sorts of things, that Joseph was of the town of David. He was of the lineage of David. And of course, it's of utmost importance that he be that way, so that Jesus himself is of the lineage of David, because it was to David that God promised, I will make your throne to endure throughout all generations, which of course God fulfills that promise by he himself in the person of Jesus Christ sitting upon the throne of David. And yet he is not going, initially at least, to a glorious, splendorous throne here, but he's going to a humble town called Bethlehem, which literally translates from the Hebrew as the house of bread. The house of bread. Jesus, who of course we know as the bread of life, being born in a town called the house of bread. So what about this as a gift of home? What about this as the house, the home of bread being given to the world in the person of Jesus Christ? And Joseph is going down to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed. They have committed themselves to one another. And of course, St. Matthew's gospel tells us about how Joseph himself needed to be convinced through a dream that this child that was given to Mary was something that is a gift from God. It doesn't represent the betrayal of their relationship, their betrothed relationship, but it is a gift that's given to God. And indeed, the Christ child is being entrusted to the care of Saint Joseph here in this narrative. And she is with child. So of course, I don't have any personal relationship or personal experience to draw from here, but mothers who are out there, you know of all the trials and travails that happen with carrying a child in the womb. Yeah. Now think about this. Think about in the very late stages of your pregnancy, what if there were no home? What if there were no home to go home to? What if you were in transit somewhere? What if you were traveling? I certainly have experiences in traveling, and it's enough of a headache. Let me tell you, without having any kind of physical malady to go along with it, or in Mary's case, a physical blessing, and yet there's no home. You're going away from your home. You're traveling. So what does home actually mean? And how can we be grateful for a home for Mary and then for the Christ child? While they were there, this is in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus comes to earth. And of course, the great feast of the incarnation, I'm convinced, is not as much Christmas as it is the Annunciation, because, you know, as Catholics, we understand that God has ensouled a person from the moment of their conception, and that he is caring for that person at that moment. And so the Annunciation, when Jesus himself is conceived in the womb of Mary, that is the time where we celebrate that Our God has become one of us, that he's taken on our very flesh so that the hands that created the universe can now be held in our own hands. God himself, who is pure spirit, now has a face and he has bloodline. He has a DNA structure. God has come to us so that our home might no longer be just this present world. The world of the eternity, the world of divine life, has broken in a new and definitive way into our own world, so that we might participate in that through our participation in this Jesus. And this Jesus comes to earth and is born, and as a newborn baby infant, he is laid in a manger. Now, I'm sure there's been many studies done already, many scripture studies done, but just remember, in our day and age, when it's so difficult to actually even understand, I like to joke that I'm surprised that any child that was born before, say, 1980 actually made it to adulthood, with all the restrictions that are placed on pregnant women these days about what they can and cannot eat, about what they can and cannot do, about who or where they can be, that sort of thing. And yet here is the baby Jesus being born into a place that is definitively not his home. His home is with the Father, of course, in heaven. It's definitively not his home, but he is bringing that home with him to earth. And where is he met? Where does he meet with the earth? He meets with the earth first being laid in a manger. What's a manger? Well, I don't speak French, but of course I know enough to say that mange, I know, is the verb to eat, right? So here is Jesus being laid in a feeding trough in the house of bread. You think there's some foreshadowing going on here? I certainly think so. Jesus is coming to bring his home with us. So how do we access this home? Where is the door to this home that Jesus has come to bring with us? Well, certainly, as the church teaches us, it is that sacrament of baptism. It's giving ourselves to the Lord in the sacrament of baptism. And so if you have been baptized, whether that's as an infant or more recently, if you're a teenager or as an adult, you have entered in through that doorway. So brothers and sisters, take the time to explore the home that Jesus has brought to you. Of course, we can't see it in its fullness yet. That yet remains. But we explore that. We explore the home that Jesus has brought us through participating in the divine life that Jesus has come to bring with him. And so that is most, of course, adamantly done in our participation in the sacraments, and most especially in our receiving the bread of life, receiving the bread that Jesus himself came to be. And we live in that divine home by receiving the sacraments, but we also live in that divine home by living out the call that God has given us. He has come to give us not only a home where we can kick up our feet and relax, he has come to give us a home where we can rest. And I think a lot of times in this day and age, we confuse entertainment with rest. And I think about my own life and how many times that, you know, I kick back thinking that I'm just going to have a bit of a rest, but I end up, inevitably there's a screen in front of me. So I am either communicating with somebody through email, or I'm watching a movie on the internet or something like that. I'm not sure that's exactly the rest that Jesus came to bring. No, he came to bring a rest and a respite, knowing that whatever else is going on in our lives, not that it's insignificant, no, not at all, but whatever else is going on in our lives, there is still the foundation stone of this home that Jesus has come to bring with him. That is Christ himself. And as we participate in Christ through the sacraments, as I said, but also to live out the call that he's given us, that rest comes to us. That's why, as we heard last week, actually, on the Rediscover Hour from Father Joseph Johnson about Saint Mother Teresa, who insisted that in order to go out and live out the call that she and her sisters had been given, they spent an hour at the beginning of the day with the Lord. Multiple hours with the Lord. And is that something that we can factor into our lives? Now, I realize that the vocation that you have been given, the call that's on your life may not enable you to get out there and spend a holy hour each and every morning with the Lord, but for goodness sake, it is absolutely imperative on each one of us who count ourselves a follower of Christ to spend time with him each and every day in prayer. Whatever we do in order to enter in and to remain and explore the home that Jesus has come to bring, we must spend time with the Lord in prayer. Going on in that Christmas narrative, we next encounter the shepherds. And although I won't take the time to read through the whole of the shepherds' narrative, here are the heavenly hosts, the angels, making known to shepherds this wondrous thing that has happened. Think of how it must have sounded to the shepherds' ears. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And they're thinking, well, if it were I anyway, I would be thinking, okay, well, obviously I will recognize him by the celebration that's going on. The people gathered around him, the people crowded around him. I don't know that I'll even be able to see him, but I want to go see him. And then come the angel's words, and you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. What? In a manger? This is the type of home that we haven't yet come to see in its full glory. It's simple here on earth, folks. It's a simple home. And so in this Christmas season, I encourage each and every one of you, as you consider home and the gift that it is, to enter in more deeply to the divine home that Jesus came to bring, and to live out the call in your life that would seek, at least in part, to provide that sort of home for others. Because there are those who are physically homeless, and there are those who are spiritually homeless as well. Can you live out that call this Christmas season and invite everyone home? We're going to be back right after this with some calendar items for the week to come. Stay with us.
Rediscover. My child is easily to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet. It was shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ our King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Relevant Radio would like to thank our donors, advertisers, and listeners. The birth of Christ is why Relevant Radio exists. Merry Christmas from our family to your family.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, Paul, we've got some things coming up around the area.
A ton of things. You can be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org. Sign up for evangelization updates.
The first Saturday mornings of recollection at the Cathedral of St. Paul, hey, I've heard of those, are mini retreats in accord with Our Lady's instruction at Fatima, designed to foster greater devotion, understanding, and living out of the gospel of Christ in the world. On Saturday, January 7th, you are invited to hear Lisa Schmitz, the executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources, offer two conferences on the struggle to build a culture of life and authentically living the gospel of life, a witness from the front lines. The morning of recollection begins with 8 a.m. Mass and concludes with exposition and benediction at 12 p.m. For more information, visit the events page on archsbm.org or visit cathedralst.paul.org.
Mark your calendars for the next Women's Breakfast at the Church of St. Helena in Minneapolis, Saturday, January 14th, 8:30 a.m. Deacon Dan Gannon will speak on affirming human life at the end of life in Rowan Hall. Cost of the breakfast, $5. Reservations must be made by Friday, January 13th at noon. Call 612-729-7321. Women are also invited to come to Mass at 8 a.m.
St. Hubert's Catholic Community invites all men to attend the Men on Fire Retreat, presented by the John Paul II Healing Center. The disciples were transformed from fearful hiding to confident and bold world changers. Answer the call of St. John Paul II to become you who you are. Set the whole world on fire. The event is January 20th and 21st, Friday 6 to 9:30 and Saturday 8 to 5 with lunch included on Saturday. Online registration is $50 per person. For more information, visit jpiihealingcenter.org and click on Events and Retreats or contact Deacon Jim Bowes at jim.bauhs@sthubert.org.
This January, the King's House Retreat Center in Buffalo, Minnesota is holding two men's silent weekend retreats on reawakening hope. The first silent retreat weekend is being held from January 13th through the 15th, with the second weekend, January 20th through 22nd, Women's Silent Retreat Weekend on Reawakening Hope will take place at King's House January 27th through 29th. To find out more, visit kingshouse.com. And what is up next week on the Rediscover
Hour? I'm excited about this one, Paul. Join us next week as we talk about Net Ministries. We'll talk with Nate Reinhardt, the lead singer of Sonar, who just debuted a new album titled The Marriage of the Lamb. We'll also speak with Net Partnership Program Manager Paul Ives, who will share with us about the history and mission of Net, as well as a Net team member who will share their testimony on serving as a traveling missionary with Net Ministries. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. And until then, I think Paul and I would both agree that it's definitely our deep, heartfelt wish that each and every one of our listeners has a great celebration of Christmas throughout the days ahead. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.